I want to talk about confession again tonight, but I want to add a little bit because I believe the Lord has changed it up a bit. I want to talk to anyone who does not know Jesus Christ, and I want to give you an opportunity, as I said at the beginning, to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And that I will do in a few minutes, but do you know that every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, the Father, our Father, in whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift. And every good and perfect gift, the best one is to be born again. Being born again is becoming a new creation. Anybody who is a believer has gone through that particular thing about being born again. Nicodemus, when Jesus was on earth, Nicodemus, an elder man, part of the Sanhedrin, he came to Jesus by night and he says, you know, Lord, we know you're a teacher from God because of what you're doing and all the rest of it. And Jesus looked at him and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You have to be born again. And Nicodemus looked at him and said, how do you mean born again? Do I have to enter my mother's womb again? He said, no. You have to come that way. He says, but you must be born again from above. Being born again is saying yes to the claims of Jesus Christ. But before I get into that, I want to talk a little bit about the power of confession in Scriptures. Because if you're a believer and you have someone who needs to be born again, then there are scriptures that we can quote and go over and over and over and cause the atmosphere to change for that particular person so that there'll be no or nothing in the way for him to be able to say yes or no. It's not us that makes the decision for them, but we can cause it and make it happen and move the enemy out of the way and some obstacles and some mountains out of the way so that this person can come to a place to be able to say yes to Jesus Christ. All of us has had to come to the Lord God, Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Jesus told us in John 14 and 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. There's many teachings out there, many stuff that is strange fire, false teachings, half-truths. But believe me, you must come to the Father through Jesus Christ. For us who are believing for loved ones, we need to remember Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. Is not my word like a fire that consumes all that cannot endure the test, saith the Lord. And like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of most stubborn resistance. Do you have a loved one who seems to be so stubborn and they resist so much that you might say, hey, they'll never come to Christ? Believe me, that's a lie of the enemy. For the Lord has come to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. It doesn't matter what color, size, shape, form, what country you're from. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not in trouble. He's totally in charge. He's totally in charge of our lives when we give Him our life. So knowing this, that the Word is like a hammer. You know when you keep hammering something. You keep hammering something. It's going to break. It's going to break. It's going to break. It broke for you. You may have been one of the hardest persons that there is to come to Christ. It doesn't matter. Because somehow, somewhere, you said yes to Jesus Christ. I said we are eternal beings, and we are. There are a lot of people who are in prison, spiritually speaking, including some Christians. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. It's talking about the enemy. I'm reading out of Isaiah 14, verse 16 and 17. And consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Is he shaking kingdoms right now? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? The enemy will not let them go. And people who are not born again don't know how to be let go. It's up to us. And we've got the power, and we're so much further ahead than the enemy and his group. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We are more than conquerors. He causes us to always triumph. All his promises are yes and amen in him. He always causes us to triumph. God has established us. God has anointed us. The enemy is no match if we know who we are in Christ. Part of knowing who we are in Christ is confession. And I'm speaking here to the believer, but I'm also speaking to anyone who does not believe. Because just before I come up, the Lord said, share a little bit of your testimony and how you come to Christ. It was very dramatic. But I was a prisoner. I was locked up. I was a junkie for 10 years. Didn't know how to get out of it. Wanted out of it. The reason I went into it is because I was looking for something. I was a very young man. But I was looking for something. But I was in prison. But there are people who are born again. There are believers who are in prison. They don't have to be. They can come out of it. They can speak to the enemy. Use this mouth. The enemy hates your mouth, but you can use it against him. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There's many Christians that are not taking the time to get into the Word of God. In Isaiah 5 and 13, he says, my people are gone into captivity for the lack of knowledge of the word. Jeremiah chapter 5 and 4 says, my people, they're surely poor because they do not know the word. They're poor. They're gone into captivity. They're destroyed. We don't know the enemy. Otherwise, we'd say, now instead of later, is this the one that is shaking nations? Is this the one that is stealing my loved ones? Is this the one that's putting a cancer or a sickness on me? Is this the one that's stealing my goods and causing problems in my life? But Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whatever your mountain is, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say will come to pass, then you will have the things that you say. If you have a loved one tonight that is not in the kingdom, I urge you to grab some scripture. Ask God to lead you into which one. Just take a couple of them. And keep hammering it like a rock, so that they come to the place where they'll be able to accept Christ. In Luke chapter 10, I believe it is, the Lord sends out 70 people, two by two. So there's at least 35 groups that are out there. That's verse 1. Verse 1, verse 2 says, for the harvest is ready, but the workers are few. God wants to send us out more than we want to go out. But he has to get us to a point where we're able to do that. God's plan is to call us into that, train us and teach us and send us out. Then we come back and give account. This is what he wants. This is what he done in Luke chapter 10. So in verse 9, he says, go out and heal the sick and cast out demons. Tell people that the kingdom of God is here. We need to tell our friends and neighbors and family that the kingdom of God has come. In verse 17, after they were out there, they come back and they were all excited and full of joy. And they said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. Verse 18, the Lord says, well, I seen Satan fall like lightning. Listen, Satan can fall like lightning away from your folks. We just have to believe. And how do we believe? We build a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But love, faith works by love too. God's love in us will reach that people. Romans 5 and 5, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. We have the love of God in us. We have all the tools we need. Verse 19, Jesus says, behold, I give you strength to tread on all snakes and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. He has lifted us up into a place of authority, way above the enemy. Is this the one that shook nations? Is this the one that caused havoc? Is this the one that deceived my family? Did my family die? Did they go to heaven? Did they go to hell? Was I able to get there in time? Was I bold enough to speak to them? Did I have the guts to tell them, hey, Jesus Christ is Lord? Are you living by example? Or verse 20 of Luke, he says, of 10. He says, you know what? Notwithstanding, don't rejoice that the devils are subject to you. That's fine. That's all good. He said, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. What else do we need? I mean, if I was to encourage you tonight, believers, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If something happened and the earth exploded, you're going to heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the flesh is to be present with God. But what about the people that we know? What about the people we work with? What about the people that God has given you divine connection with? I'm going to tell this story. My son-in-law would not mind. He was working, when we lived in Quebec, he was working just over the bridge in Ottawa. He was working for a car dealership in the, fixing the body part. What's that called? Fixing the body. He wasn't a mechanic. He was a body repair guy. Boy, very deep. But anyways, a customer came in and left the car. And he was there, so he drove him home. He used the shuttle from the car dealership to the van. While in the van, God told him very clearly and heavily, he said, talk to him about the Lord. Well, my son-in-law, because he tells us, I'm telling this, he did not talk to him. He took him home and he dropped him off. And that night he died of a massive heart attack. Now, he might have heard the gospel before, but he never heard it that night, and he was supposed to. And my son-in-law, Sean, has really, from time to time when he thinks about that, he says, I will never allow that to happen again. The feelings that he had. All he had to do was tell him about Jesus Christ. And for whatever reason, he did not. But we're here tonight and we have the answer. There is a heaven, there is a hell. In 1965, I went out into the world and started with drugs. And I know many of you know this, but the Lord has asked me to share this, so I'm going to do it. This was not on my heart when I came here. And so for 10 years, I did every kind of drug there was in them days. I did not know Jesus Christ. It ended up that I got born again in 1975. But in 1971, I had an overdose. And to make a long story short, when I overdosed, I died. And I was in a hotel. We were drinking, we were having some beer. And on me, I had quite a few Valium, enough to take care of me in terms of killing me. And I went into the washroom and put the tap on and took some pills and took them back and took some water. And finally, I took all of them. I'm back out and sat in my chair. Within 20 minutes, I fell off. My brother and one of the bouncers took me outside, and they took me down to one of our friends' place. This was in Toronto. Them days, there was lots of drugs, just like everywhere else. So he took me in, and they laid me on his bed, and while they went out to get some of their stash, a stimulant, instead of taking me to the hospital, I might have died on the way and finished, totally ended it. But what happened was, I did die. And when I died, my spirit left my body. And I was hoovering up in the top of the room, and I could see my body on the bed. And there was this cloud of depression that came. Before I knew it, I was heading down the tunnel. When I ended at the bottom of the tunnel, I landed on my feet. And immediately there was two demons, large demons came. One grabbed me on one arm, one on the other. They led me up this little set of stairways onto a big platform. The platform, as I was standing there, I was very sad and depressed, because I knew if that was my resting place, you see, you know what's going on. And that's where I'm going to spend eternity. And just as I looked in, I could see people weeping and gnashing of teeth, and I knew nothing about the Bible, moaning, and I seen the silhouettes. The background, I seen the fire and all the rest of it that goes along with it. But what I'm saying is this: I cried out to Jesus. I don't know where it came from. When I get to heaven, I want to know who was praying for me. But we have the same authority to pray for people. And for whatever reason, when I cried out the name of Jesus, the two demons flew off my arms like lightning. And I went back up and through the tunnel into my body, and I became very sick and threw up all that stuff. The point I'm making is this: I was not born again. I was dead for 10 minutes and I had serious brain damage. But almost 4 years later, I did come to Christ. I was sitting in a rooming house and I had had pretty well it. I was done. Is there someone out there tonight that is done, baked, finished with this life, don't know what they're going to do next? Well, this could be for you. But in any case, at that very moment, it wasn't the day before, the day after, an hour later, 10 minutes later, or before it was right, at that exact moment, God had my brother come in. My brother was a Christian for 3 years at that time. And when he came in, he came downstairs in that little roomy house where I was. A dark, dank, dark, damp, dingy basement. One chair, one light. I was sitting there, my face in my hands, and asking God, where do we go from here? And so just as he came in, he turned to me and he says, Mike, you need Jesus Christ. And as he said that, it was like the anointing hit, just like when we can say that. We have the anointing. 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 1, verse 20. It says, we have the anointing. The anointing is the manifest presence of God. When we point our finger and say, you need Jesus Christ, something happens. It was like something hit me, and I said, yes, I know. And so he led me to the Lord. He introduced me to Jesus Christ. The Lord came into that room and it lit up the room. And from that moment on, things began to change. I'd never done another drug, never stuck another needle in my arm. That was it. It was over. I was totally, completely delivered. But because of my overdose, I had brain damage. I took the Word of God, the New Testament, at that particular time. Read it for hours and hours and hours every day. The Bible says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I was beginning to get the truth in me. And within 5 months, my mind had straightened out. I could hold a conversation with anyone. Because before that, with brain damage, I learned not to say too much, because if I was in a conversation, I would know and carry and run along with it. But I couldn't get the thought from here to here quick enough, so I didn't say too much. But God is in the healing business. It doesn't matter what it is. God is not slack, as some men are slack. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's 2 Peter 3 and 9. Take one of them scriptures. Acts 16:31 says, if you accept Christ, you'll be saved and your household. Take them things to the heavenly bank. My brother, the one that led me to Christ, he asked the Lord. He said, can I leave my brothers? There was three of us. He was the youngest. There was me and I have an older brother. He's gone now, but at that time, my younger brother, God answered his prayer. He was able to lead both of us to Christ. God will meet that. So right now I'd like to pray before I go on. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody watching and listening that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? It's as simple as saying, Lord, come into my life. I repent of my sins. I want to move on with you. I do acknowledge that I have sinned. Lord, will you come into my life? Will you help me? Because, Lord, I need you. And I trust you. If you've done that, it's that simple. Don't feel like you have to change everything by yourself. But if you ask the Lord to help you, He'll begin to deal with issues and situations in your life, and addictions and problems and mountains. He'll begin to deal with that. And in a matter of time, things will happen for you. Now, this is 40 years ago almost. Next year is 40 years since I said yes to Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, it's not all that easy sometimes. But it's certainly rewarding. I have come to know who I am in Christ. And I know that He loves me. And I'm telling you, He loves you. He loves you. He will never leave you. Never, ever forsake you. If you slip and fall, because I believe there's been someone, at least someone, who has said that prayer and wants Jesus to come in, and you invited him in. If you have slipped and fall, just get up. Brush yourself off. He says if you've sinned, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He wants to cleanse you. What an amazing, amazing feeling. And not only that, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory to God. Also, why don't you write in to this ministry, Pastor Jim Martin and Kathy, our amazing pastors. They love the Lord. They've been around a long time, and they would help you if you need material, maybe some encouragement. You can watch these programs. Jim has a radio station that you can get by going onto the website, I think. If not, you can make a call to the church and find out. And one thing for sure, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. Thank you, Lord. For us here, will you turn to Acts chapter 14? You see, there's a very, it's very, very important to confess the word. The word you've confessed when you come to Christ, you say, yes, Lord, I come into my life. For it's with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but it's with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The importance of confessing the word is this. Spend time with the Lord, reconciling the problem that you are currently facing to the cross. How? By replacing with the words of your mouth the image of the problem that the devil sends your way with the image that is in the word. This is your inheritance and your right. When the enemy sends a problem your way, you take the word and look at the image that's in the word, not the image in what he has sent you. The problem may be there, but God wants to work with you through it, over it, or around it. But he wants to deal with it. He may use the word, a word that he would give you specifically, to hammer and to hammer and to hammer this thing. Confessing the word of God is using the faith of God that he has already put in your heart to enforce what he has already said about your problem. Once you have prayed the prayer of faith over the problem, you are not to talk to God about the problem. You are to talk to the problem about God. Listen, Paul the Apostle, when he was teaching in Acts chapter 14, verse 7, he was preaching the word of God. And you'll find that he didn't stop to pray and have intercessors pray, although that's important. You will not find that he prayed to God and said, oh God, will you please help this man? Paul knew who he was in Christ. And he confessed the word. He was preaching the word, yes. But then he gave a command based on the word. Verse 7 says, and there they preached the gospel. And there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceived that he had faith to be healed. When you're witnessing and ministering to people, you will perceive that they have the faith to be healed, to be born again, and you have to act on that. There are times that you'll be talking to people and God will drop that divine note in you, that divine connection, the time, and you have to go for it. It's an amazing thing to lead people to Christ. It's an amazing thing to lay your hands on somebody and command the healing to flow through their body. It doesn't matter what it is. We were confessing the other day, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 61. Every sickness, every disease that is not mentioned in this book, in other words, no matter what sickness it is, it's under the curse of the law, or curse because of sin. Sin brings the enemy. But according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess that I am redeemed from that sickness. Just before I finish this, I want to ask you, as we confessed that the other day, how many people have continued? I don't want to see your hands. But it's real easy to stop. It's real easy to stop. And that's where we deal with it. That's where we deal with ourselves. Say to ourselves, listen, this is the way to my healing. This is the way to my success and victory in Christ. I'm going to continue. God wants us to have a renewed mind. As we begin to confess the word over ourselves, God will eventually cause us to confess the word over issues and situations and family members and cities and towns and churches and schools. And we'll be able to see things happen because we're confessing the word. The word will never return void. When we send the word out, it will never return void. And Paul knew this here, just like Peter and John knew it back in Acts chapter 3, when they said, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Again, I'm an intercessor, I pray a lot. But they didn't have a prayer meeting before they said this command. They knew that Philippians, although it wasn't written at that time, but they knew in Philippians it would say that for God has given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ every knee shall bow of things in heaven, earth, and things beneath the earth. And every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God came in the form of Jesus 2,000 years ago. It's done. Jesus was on the cross. He says, it is finished. And then he says, I'm leaving, but I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. My cry today is, Holy Spirit, will you show me yourself? Will you reveal yourself to me? The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. You see, the 70 that were sent out in Luke chapter 10, the harvest is ready, but the workers are few. They went out all right, and they cast out devils, they healed the sick, and they said, hey, the kingdom of God is at hand. And when they did come back, they did say to Jesus, and I know I'm repeating myself, they said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. Even sickness is subject to us in your name. Jesus said, that's right. I've seen Satan fall like lightning. That sickness can leave the body that fast. When we begin as a body to believe that deep and that powerful and that strong, that's what's going to happen. Then he says, behold, I give you strength to tread on all snakes and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy, nothing by any means shall hurt you. Nor your family. That's your right. Notwithstanding, do not rejoice at this, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are my ambassador. You are my reconciler. You carry the Holy Spirit, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You sit in a seat of authority, a position in Christ, which is at the right hand of the Father. You are more than a conqueror. God always caused you to triumph. Every promise in the word is yes, and in him, amen. Every promise. You are redeemed, you're the righteous, you're a joint heir. Continue. I just could continue with that. But Paul knew that. So as he was preaching the gospel in verse 7, there sat a man in Lystra, impotent to his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. He'd never walked before. He could have sat there and said, oh, you know, I never walked before. All these people are walking around. Woe is me. But he didn't. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, he continued in the word. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. This man was moving in faith because Paul was preaching the word. The word will not return void. You know, there are people that can be healed during a service. I've had the opportunity to see that happen. You preach the word and people start getting it, say, yeah. They take their healing. Say verse 9, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that comes to him first must believe that he is. And secondly, he is the reward of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 6. Man, it's so good to be part of this family. And we have so much. And we can give that away. Finally, verse 10. Paul said with a loud voice, he said, stand up on thy feet. And he leaped and he walked. He needed a lot of healing to stand up and leap and walk. He needed a lot of faith, rather. But that's where we are. We are in that body. Paul did not have the opportunity to have anything more than what we have. Finally, many people fail to receive what they pray for because of a lack of understanding about confession. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says this in the Amplified. It says, so then, brethren, consecrated and set apart for God, who share in the heavenly calling, thoughtfully and attentively, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest, whom we confessed as ours when we embraced the Christian faith. The word confession in the Greek language means saying the same thing. So what the word of God is saying, to confess means that we will say the same thing. It means to believe and say what God says about our sins, our sicknesses, and everything else, including in our redemption. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. It's an amazing scripture. It's an amazing promise. It's all over throughout the Word. From Genesis to Revelation. The Holy Spirit in 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes you were healed. We are to believe and say the same thing. When our affirmation is the word of God, he watches over it to make it good. Jeremiah 1:12. He watches over his word to make it good. So someone in your family tonight that needs Jesus Christ, take the word and send it and watch God watch over it. Do you need a healing? Listen, healings, with my experience, but more than that, even the word of God, it doesn't always come right away. The gift of the working of miracles will, but the gifts of healing don't always come. There are symptoms there that have to be worked out. There are times that we have to go deep into the Lord and in his presence. But he will. It will give. He is our high priest. Hold fast to your confession. Number one, I am told to hold fast to the confession of the absolute integrity of the Bible. I'm told to hold fast to the confession of the work of Christ in all its phases. I am told to hold fast to the confession that God is the strength of my life. I'm told to hold fast the confession that surely He has borne my sicknesses, He's carried my griefs. So by confessing, we're saying the same things that the Word of God is saying. But if we don't know the Word of God, we're not going to know what to say. When we pray prayers, and there's nothing wrong with emotion, but sometimes we're praying out of the emotion, you know, we want things to happen so badly, but we still need to pray the Word. Confess the Word over these things. We will never rise above our confession. Make our lips do the work.